Hey, we motivating the nation, gonna set the foundation. Spreading positive knowledge, the crucial conversation. All rise for the wheel ride, drink and show. Let's go.
We made it. We made it. We got Stephanie and Ball in the house. Hey.
Hey, hey. Thanks for having me,
Will. I don't have a formal intro or nothing like that. Well, if you're tuning in, this is Crucial Conversation with Will Rodriguez. I got a very special guest. Before we dive in into what we're going to talk about, tell us a little bit about yourself, Anne.
Yeah, so.
Stephanie and Ball, yeah. You get it.
Yeah. Yes, so my name is Stephanie. My background is in music, so I work at the intersection of music and wellness. And I, you know, we'll get into the story in a little bit, but really I do two things. You can either find me on stage as a professional classical performer, singing with opera companies and orchestras and doing it solo recitals with piano. And you can also find me using sound as a tool to help support executives in tech, athletics, aviation, and healthcare with stress reduction. Sound is like one of the most powerful tools out there that can really help bring the body into a state of relaxation, and it's such an honor to be able to get to do that for people.
It's exciting. So excited to have you on. So for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so if I start at the beginning, do you want me to do the whole story with all the twists and the turns and how we got here?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Pretty typical for a lot of musicians. I grew up in a really musical family. So everybody on my mom's side, they're all the singers. My dad was a drummer. So they all play instruments on my dad's side. And we just grew up with a lot of music in the house all the time. And I started piano lessons when I was 4. And I was singing in the church choir when I was a toddler. And then started playing the violin and got into orchestra in elementary school. So it was just this like constant exposure to all different kinds of music and being on stage and learning how to practice and getting over stage fright and that kind of thing. And I went through, you know, what a lot of singers went through. I really was like, yes, I'm going to be a star and I'm going to be on MTV and it's going to be so awesome. And I had a very wise voice teacher when I was maybe 14 or 15 who heard me, and she said, you know, I think maybe what your voice is really trying to do is this. And she introduced me to classical vocal music and opera, which I had never really heard before. And I was just completely in awe that a human voice could do that. And so from then on, I was like, wow, if that's something that I'm capable of doing, I'm going to go all in on that one. And that was the end of it. So I went to college and got a bachelor's degree in vocal performance and went on and got my graduate degree in vocal performance and have been singing professionally in the classical realm for about 14 years now. It's been a little while. And all alongside that, teaching people how to use their voices and teaching people how to sing as a private voice instructor, because I'm a firm believer that singing is really good for you and anybody can learn how to do it better. And fast forward to 27, people started asking me about this, like the behind the scenes skill set of being a performer. There's a lot of stuff that we have to do before we even make it to the stage, right? So how do you market yourself? How do you do your networking? How do you stay organized? How do you do your accounting? Like, how do you stay healthy? All of those things that, how do you learn music efficiently? How do you memorize so much stuff? All the things that people don't see.
Yep.
That yeah, it's like a lot of work on the back end. Everybody else gets the good part, but
it's so easy though, right? You're like, easy, but you're amazed too when you like, you know, watch somebody sing. You're like, wow, that's amazing. They're gifted. Yeah. But there's a lot of work out in the back end that people don't know about.
Exactly. It's a long road to get here, and it's a lot of work. And so it takes a lot of work to make it look as easy as we do. And absolutely. So people started asking me, hey, can you teach me how to do that? Because you look so like cool, calm, and collected. And I went, gosh, you know, this actually is something that I could probably teach people how to do. So I went back and I got a few more certifications in how to work with the unconscious mind and how to reprogram things like limiting beliefs and deep-rooted fears and phobias so you could just show up as your best all the time. And I started my consulting practice in 2017. And a few years after that, I realized that for me, with all of my different skill sets, I do have a knack for helping people feel really calm and centered. And when you're in the high performance, as we'll call it, realm, or if you have a job that has like a lot of high intensity to it, being able to manage your stress levels so you can think clearly and operate at 100% is crucial. And that's when I decided, you know what, I have to just go all in with this and put sound meditation and nervous system regulation at the front of the front of the work that I do, because that's what's going to get people the best results in a shorter time frame. So here we are.
I'm gonna have to pump the brakes a little bit because you dropped a lot. Okay, so
that's
a good thing. You grew up in music, right? You grew up singing as well. How important was that to your success now?
Huge. I don't think that I would be where I am now if music hadn't been such a big part of my life. Has such a healing aspect on me. And it's just one of my favorite things to immerse myself in, truly. Like, I'm the person who can hear a song on the radio and will fully start crying. So it's just one of those things that it's like so deeply ingrained into my soul that it's, you know, that's part of my calling and my divine calling, as I like to say.
And that's amazing. You did mention that, I believe it was your teacher said, You have an area of expertise, right? It's like, focus on that one thing. And because of that, you narrowed down and got to work, right? There's a lot of people that would hear something like that and be thankful for it, but still try to do a lot of different things. But not you. What made you decide on focusing on that one thing opposed to still trying to figure things out?
Oh, that's a great question. I think for me, it's just, this is sort of funny because I have tried to run away from music many times because of how hard it is and how demanding it is. And you don't always see the results of your hard work at the beginning, but it is the thing that I always came back to, creating and helping support people with music. And so when I finally realized, I was like, okay, this is not going away. This is the piece of it that is truly my thing. It's the thing that lights me up. It's the thing that I'm the best at. And it's the thing that I can literally obsess over and find a way to get better at for the rest of my life.
You didn't see the money. You didn't see anything, right? But you just said, you know what? I'm going to focus on that one thing. And did you like count the calls, like saying, even if I fail, right? If I don't succeed, I'm okay with that. Did you have that conversation or no?
Yeah, I have that conversation every day. And I think, you know, which I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs do, because it's some days it's like, yes, this is going amazing. And then the next day it's like, hold on, what have I done with my life?
That's what I asked you. How often are you having a conversation, or did you have a conversation early on? And I was saying, like, get this here. I just actually read this book. A good friend, Bryce McKinley, shout out to Bryce McKinley. Let me borrow this book right here, The One Thing. Have you read this book?
I haven't read that yet. It's on my list, though.
So. You're already doing it, so you don't have to read it. But for those guys, people that are not focusing on that one thing, they got to focus on that one thing. So that's a good book for sure. Man, quite a story. Quite a story. And another thing that you touched on is reprogramming the brain. I read a book by John Assaraf, I believe his last name is, called Inner Size.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that book? Or
I am.
Okay, got it. So I learned a lot in that book. Walk us through some of that methods of reprogramming the brain.
Yes, totally. Well, if you think about the brain, we have the conscious part of our brain, which is what we typically recognize when we're going through the day and we're thinking thoughts and we're understanding what's going on. And then you have the unconscious part of your brain that's really driving the rest of the show, or most of the show, rather, right? The unconscious brain is like the part of us that just absorbs the majority of the information that we take in, and it synthesizes it and it tries to make sense of it. And then it feeds information to the conscious brain so we know how to move through our lives. That is a good thing in a lot of ways, because it would just be too much work for us to walk around having to tell ourselves how to breathe, how to move every muscle so we can take a step and walk, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. However, our unconscious mind can get us into trouble just because of how it misinterprets things. And its primary job is to keep the body alive. And yeah. sometimes that comes at a cost, mm-hmm. especially when you think about how the rest of the body reacts to things like stress and threats. It really can cause a little bit of trouble if you aren't able to get your conscious mind and your unconscious mind speaking the same language. And I mean, mm-hmm. if you've ever been in a situation where you said that you really wanted to do something, like, I want to get up early in the morning, I want to work out more, I want to drink more water, and then every single day you do the opposite of what you said you wanted to do, that's because you've got a little bit of a miscommunication going on. And so when you can get in there and figure out what is really going on underneath the surface of the conscious mind and figure out what's going on unconsciously, reprogram those neural pathways, then you can finally start achieving the results that you want.
That's so good. It's almost like, you know, you build a muscle already, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say build the wrong muscle. You know what I mean? For lack of better words, like you're building something that is not going to lead you to anywhere that you want to go. Okay. So now you have to redo everything. And it takes you back from having nothing to rebuild. That's pretty much what I'm getting from you.
Yeah.
You know, there's one Bible verse in Romans talks about, don't be conformed of the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I get that scripture. I'm like, man, that's a daily thing. Because
yeah.
a lot happens up here, right?
Yes.
The noise of, you know, election year and wars. I mean, people could start freaking out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I try to center myself a little bit by just saying, you know what, a lot of things are out of my control, but what's in my control right now is my family, my attitude, my faith, and so forth. So it's kind of interesting that you talked about that. Another thing that you talked about is how music calms you, right? Mm-hmm. It lowers your stress. Can you walk me through, you know, how that works?
Yes, I can. I love talking about the science. So if you think about it, if you've ever been in a situation where you were in kind of like a bummer of a mood, and maybe you were a little bit cranky or you were sad about something or whatever, and a song came on. So let's say you were sad about something, okay? And a song comes on that's really sentimental and heartfelt and all of that stuff. And you listen to the song and you start crying and then you feel better. And you naturally notice that your mood lifts and it changes. I know a lot of people that kind of experience has happened to them before. So from a scientific view, here's what's actually going on. Music, you know, sound waves, sound vibrations enter into our ears, and then they enter into our brain, and the brain interprets it as an electrical signal. And then the electrical signal moves through the body via the nervous system, right? So that's like the physical part of us that's attached to our unconscious, the nervous system. And the nervous system is what controls the stress response. Okay, so something stresses us out, we go up one side, sympathetic activation, and then the stressor's gone, and we come down the other side with the parasympathetic nervous system. So when you've got sound vibrations moving through your nervous system, it stimulates the vagus nerve, which is a big nerve that controls the parasympathetic side. When this part of the body is active, all of a sudden, breathing slows down, your blood pressure gets a little bit lower, the stress hormones in the body start to calm themselves down. So you have this like physical activation of this really beautiful calming feature all from the sound waves. And if you have any kind of like emotional density hanging out in your body, the sound waves will just kind of bust it out naturally. Because I heard a great quote from a doctor not long ago, and he said, I have to make sure I get this right. He said, sound is vibration and vibration is energy. And I thought that was so beautiful because everything is energy, right?
That's so good. So good.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of sense because in my house, things could be, you know, a little crappy, right? Or we could be in a place where we're just not feeling it, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a bad mood. But then I'll play some Selena and all of a sudden, woo! Things are going to the house, right? So I definitely hear where you're coming from, for sure. That's interesting. Oh, yeah. Wow. There's a lot to it. It doesn't matter what kind of songs you play, or just something more upbeat, or...
So I love... It depends on the person, and it depends on what your needs are, really. When I'm working with my clients, I do this exercise with them where we figure out what emotional state they want to be in, and then I help them curate a playlist that matches their emotional state, and then I walk them through some guided visualization so they really feel like a tangible anchor to the music, and then they can change emotional states rapidly based on the song. And it's so fun. It's so cool. And the work that I do, so when I'm doing really highly customized, dialed in sound medicine facilitation for my clients, I do that at the beginning and the end of the behavior change work, because when you get the body nice and calm, it's easier to work with the brain. So I love pairing the two together, because you get better subconscious reprogramming results when the nervous system is nice and flexible and resilient. So I work with vocal toning. I sing at people, and I use crystal sound bowls that are tuned to 432 hertz. So it's this nice, mellow, really calming, and relaxes people really quickly.
That's interesting. Can you sing to us right now? A message or not?
You know what I will do, though? I have a bunch of tracks recorded, so I will send you a little track if you want to splice it in so people can hear a sample. Totally happy to do that.
Great. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. You bet.
Or listen to the spot, they'd be like, I'll relax. Like, oh,
yeah. That's the goal, right? I mean, it's so good for the body to just take a few minutes, and it doesn't take a lot of time. One of my clients, I gave him like a little, it was maybe 5 minutes during a session. And I just, you know, gave him some sound for 5 minutes. And he said, that felt like a 2-hour nap. It's like, perfect.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. I definitely hear that. If you're listening to this and you haven't subscribed or liked or commented, just do all that right now. Okay. This is some good information. And we'll drop the links for Stephan here in a little bit. But walk us through of you know, what you got going on right now.
I have so much good stuff going on right now. In mid-June, I will be in Seattle, Washington, doing an 8 Juneteenth concert. Well, it's going to be, obviously, if you're in the Seattle area on June 16th, come out and check it out. But we're also going to live stream it. So no matter where you are, you'll be able to watch it. And I have curated an awesome program of classical music. I have a fantastic pianist that I'm working with, Jessica Evotion Hall. Keisha Garrison is going to be holding it down as our MC. Doing some beautiful readings, just threading together the story of Juneteenth and what freedom means to all of us. And that's going to be really fantastic. I'm so looking forward to that. I also have, I've always got new soundtracks coming out on YouTube. So if you want to, we'll make sure you have the link so you can subscribe to my YouTube channel. And I've got some really fun things coming out later this summer, including a little sound meditation course. So if you're interested on how you can use music more in your life and have really be able to leverage that for your own healing, I'm going to be able to tell you how to do that. So I got all kinds of goodies coming.
Awesome. That's exciting. And walk us through like a scenario of like, let's say a client that comes to you, either they're suffering with like a lot of stress, anxiety, and I guess give us a story, right? That maybe some of your audience is going through right now, that they're like, man, it seems like my stress is not going away, right? Or my anxiety is not going away. Walk us through a story of one of your patients or clients.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you for asking that. So I work with people who are typically pretty high achievers, and they love to be involved in everything because they also want to make a big impact in the world and just, you know, leave it as a better place. And unfortunately, the flip side of that is they tend to push themselves really hard and are very hard on themselves and sort of fight through the stress instead of properly managing the stress. And so I use a framework, the LIGHTS formula is the framework that I use with my clients. And typically what we do is, if somebody is not quite getting the results that they want, or they feel like they can perform better, maybe at work, or if they're maybe struggling with something, gosh, I just used to be so organized and I can't be as organized as I could before. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's going on. the first thing that we do is we really get in there and just take a good look at what's going on inside there. So like, what are your values? What is it that you really want? What is your identity like? And that's what we base everything off of. For me, if you can get to the layer of what the symptoms are and what even what the presenting problems are, like if you're procrastinating or something like that, and really figure out what is the lowest, the deepest layer that's causing all of your problems and how can we wipe that out so you get results that are much faster. For example, like I had, I'm trying to think of a good story to tell. All my clients are so awesome. So I have to pick a favorite here. Let's see. Okay, so I have one woman. She's one of my favorite humans on the planet. And she was having a really difficult time in her workplace because there was just a lot of external drama happening that she really had nothing to do with. But because it was happening around her, it was really affecting her quality of life across the board because she would go to work and there was just all this office stress and the culture wasn't super great. And people were falling behind and people were missing deadlines. And it was just really like creating a big problem across the board. And so she came to me and she just said, I don't know how to manage this. I'm tied up in knots all the time and I want to make it better, but I don't know how to make it better. And we just got her nervous system to be more resilient and to do the thing properly. So she was able to go to work and stay centered and stay calm. And she really just became this like beacon of light around her. And because she was able to center and show up as this person of calm, healing authority in the workplace, that attitude started to spread to everyone else. And from there, she was able to lead really transformative conversations. And she was able to lean into her identity as a leader. And it changed so much because there's only so much you can do by yourself. But that alone made a massive difference. And it was the same thing, right? So we used the sound to get her calm. And then we used the unconscious reprogramming stuff to make her feel like she was worthy of a calm work. And she went in and she crushed it. It was awesome.
Man, that's amazing. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, if you are in a grocery store just in public and then you see somebody that's like mad or upset, a lot of people mirror that. But if you see somebody that's cracking a smile, that's contagious, right? You start kind of walking, smile. And I do that with myself too. Like, sometimes I'll make my wife mad or something. And then she's like, she's super pissed off. Then I just look at her, like, I think you're trying to smile. Smile. Yeah, I see a smile, Kerman. And I say it like that. And then she just starts busting up.
Yes. It's true. It's contagious. And like, you can feel it if you walk into the room and there's like a heaviness, an unexplainable, you know, just something in the air that doesn't feel good to be around. It can really mess up, you know, everybody's work day.
I live in Texas, obviously, because of the cowboy hat and the flag. Right? And man, like, traffic here is horrible. And I thought Californians were bad. Texans are way worse. And people say that it's from New Yorkers and Californians coming over here, including myself. I'm not sure if it's true, but people can drive over here in Texas. I don't know why I said that, but that's kind of random. Yeah, I said that because people have bad attitudes. You know, people flip you off, you know, start screaming at you. And I'm like, I'm just trying to create work. Why are you trying to, like, get all rowdy and stuff? Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Seems like you're helping a lot of people, making an impact, especially for people that are high achievers. Do you have anyone that's maybe like a mom? Like, have you worked with any moms in the past?
I have worked with moms. I love moms.
Stay-at-home moms are, they have more work than an entrepreneur, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. They're doing so much.
Yes.
And it's constant, right? It's constant. It's 24/7.
Nonstop. Yeah, when I come home, I have to kick my wife out of the house because she just wants to like wash dishes and catch up when I'm here. I'm like, no, I'll help you because I'm helping. But I'm like, just leave the house for like 30 minutes and just take a walk and go do something that you like to do. So I'm trying to do that more now because, again, it's a lot for her being in the house with three kids. And what would you recommend someone that is an entrepreneur do maybe like some action steps that they could take to maybe lower their stress or just be in a calmer place?
So first of all, I love that you do that for your wife. I think that's amazing. So yeah. Thank you. Like, shout out to all the dads and husbands that are helping their wives have a moment. I think that's amazing. Right. And so my best advice for people who are really going, oh, you know what? I think I actually might be internalizing some stress and I could probably use some help there. Find a way to make it a practice. It really is something that needs to be tended to every day because it's cumulative, right? It's like going to the gym. You can go and feel really good after one workout, but you're not going to get the best results if you don't consistently go. Mindfulness and stress management works the same way. So think about things that do make your body feel really calm. For some people, that's meditation. For some people, that's listening to sound medicine. For some people, that's connecting with a friend or a loved one. Find something that brings you back to a place of centeredness and peace, and just start by doing it for 5 minutes every day. And then see if you can add another 5 minutes and go for 10 minutes. See if you can get 15 minutes in there and just notice what happens when you really do begin to be consistent and build that relaxation muscle and just watch how it starts to ripple out and change your life.
That's so good. And I love the fact that you talked about having a vision, right? For us, I don't have my phone. My phone's up there, but I'm big on vision. So I always say, hey, the Rodriguez is our leaders. We are people that take care of others. We are influencers. Like I said, throughout the house. Now, one thing I say too, the Rodriguez's are producers. We're not consumers. And after I said it like maybe 20 times, my family has bought into that, right? Like, okay, we're producers. Okay, we got to read. We got to do videos. You know, got to be producing. We can't just be scrolling through social media. And this weekend, my wife and I take action. And we had to take the TV down in the living room. And I have it here in my office now. So if we do choose this side as family to watch a good movie, I had to get it out of the office, take it to the living room, hang it up, right? But I really want us to be active. I want us to be able to connect. And notice that me coming home from work, if my kids were watching TV, they'll just be, you know, hooked on TV. They don't even say hi to me, right? And that's one. Another is when I would come home, I noticed that, like, I'm just trying to, like, power down a little bit too and just hang out for a little bit. But if they're playing TV, then I'll just be there, you know, kicking back. So I'm trying to change things around in my family because my wife and I didn't really see a healthy relationship, a marriage growing up. So we're trying to change things around. So it's taking a lot of work and effort and being very intentional. But we're definitely big on vision. And because we have that vision of the Rodriguez's, right? We are this, and those are my values. Those are my principles. I'm trying to steer the ship in a different direction. But it does take work. It is challenging. It comes with a lot of sometimes stress too, because you're trying to like do a lot of changes so fast. And sometimes we're not used to it. We like TV. We like watching TV from 6 to 7 or 6 to 8. It's good to just hang out in the living room and just watch TV. But hold up. Our values, the vision is that the Rodriguez's are this. We don't care what our neighbors are doing or friends are doing. We are going to be doing this because of the vision. So I love the fact that you brought that up.
That's such a great story. Oh, that's so good. And you're so right on, because when you do have that much clarity around your vision and your values and your purpose, then you can shape it into your identity. And when you know what your identity is, both as a family and as your position as the leader of your family, you can design all of your habits to uphold the identity. That's really what it all comes down to when you're trying to take intentional action towards something. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. You got to know what your triggers are so you can work through them easily and get in the weeds and clear out all of the stuff that is in the way of you truly living in alignment with your identity and your vision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was going to ask you a question. This may be maybe something that you know, don't know, I don't know, but we just started, we made another decision to eat healthier. That means mm-hmm. no more donuts, Taco Bell. Not that Taco Bell is good, but it's very convenient.
But it hits the spot sometimes.
it's inconvenient. We eat it off. But if you're eating like junk, donuts and like burgers and fries for lunch, and dinner you're having pasta, does that affect your mood?
Well, that's a good question. So I'm not a nutrition expert, so I can't say for sure. But for me personally, I 100% notice a difference in how I feel based on what I'm eating. Like if I go to town and eat a bunch of sugar, and for me, my body doesn't love dairy. So if I spend a weekend eating like ice cream and cookies and a bunch of fried stuff, I absolutely notice my performance levels dip and my sleep habits change. They get kind of wonky. And then I feel bad about myself. So it is this sort of crazy spiral. But when I'm eating really, really well, the way I know my body loves to enjoy food, I feel awesome. And then I feel good about myself. And I feel like I did the thing I said I was going to do, which creates like a positive feedback loop. And you want to do it again.
I asked that because we noticed that, you know, by switching things a little bit has helped our mood as well. So I'm not sure if that's like 10, 20%, 5%. And then the subconscious, maybe like 40% conscious, maybe a higher percentage of that. But I don't know like the breakdown of that. But just knowing that by eating a little bit healthier, right? And having an outlet where we could, you know, play some upbeat music and really have speak life as well. In my house, we don't speak death. We don't say this house feels like a prison. We don't say things like I need to get out of the house because it's I'm miserable here. We don't say any of those things. I'm like, if some of us do because we're stressed, I'm like, no, hold up, red flag, hold up, pause, pump the brake. We don't talk like that. So we're still on that right there, but you know, we're just trying to like unlearn and learn new skills as well. But awesome. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure. I'm going to have you on the podcast again. Hopefully you meet in person. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
I would be so down. Yes. Yeah. Say the word and I will find a way to make the trip. I would love to.
Yeah. How can people connect with you? Maybe social media. Maybe you have several different social media accounts.
Yeah. So find me on LinkedIn, Stephanie M. Balls. Give me a shout on LinkedIn. Send me a connection request. I love meeting new people. And you can also check me out on YouTube. So we'll make sure that you have all the links and stuff so you can subscribe and listen to some stuff. And I'm honored to stay in touch.
Awesome. And if you guys got value from this question, let us know your biggest takeaway, maybe something you learned. Hit us up in the chat. Like, subscribe, and all that. And with that being said, we're going to land the plane. Definitely thank you so much again. With that being said, keep fighting the good fight. Stay in prayer. Stay dangerous. We're out.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, bye. That Rodriguez show. Yeah, that Rodriguez show. Yeah.